absolutely indispensable, and that is total reliance upon God's Holy Spirit. I was telling a brother tonight how often we get calls, people ask, what's the simplest translation? I need a real simple translation to study the Bible. And sometimes it makes me laugh because it doesn't matter how simple the translation. If God doesn't open our eyes, we don't see it. And you can get any translation you want, and unless God gives you eyes to see it, you're not going to see it. And if He opens your eyes, you can study Greek, and you'll see it. Let's commit our time unto Him. Our Father, how glad we are that we have a share in this same grace and this same Lord Jesus that Dave was talking about. And we pray tonight and in our subsequent studies and gatherings that You would open our eyes to behold Him, that You would deliver us from ourselves and from flesh and blood and human opinion. And we pray that by Your Spirit You would minister the Lord unto us. Show us Your glory, we pray. We wait upon You now as we just look at this introduction, and we just ask Your Spirit to quicken our hearts and to prepare us for what You're going to share with us. We ask that in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Those of you that received an invitation, and I'm sure that's all of you, on that sheet that Bob sent out, he gave a Bible verse, and that Bible verse tells, it might lead you astray a little bit, but it gives what I would like to share, and I'm talking about Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God for the Spirit," or "for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That expression, "the spirit of prophecy," is what first gripped my heart and set me into a serious study of what we're going to be sharing this weekend. And I remember when God first began to dawn that verse on my heart, it was in connection with 2 Corinthians 3:6. "The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And I think you've known the Lord long enough to know what it means, "the letter kills." The letter of the law kills. In fact, the letter of grace kills. Nothing worse than dead light. And the letter of grace can be just as dead. And when I saw this, "the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy," I began to think that there must be a letter of prophecy too. And as I thought about it, everything I ever knew about prophecy, I think that's as far as I'd ever come. Just the letter of it. And I'm not one of these that run to every prophetic conference, because quite honestly, some of that was just death to me. You know, I said, "What in the world did they get some of these ideas?" And every time I hear about prophecy, I just say, you know, I'm not saying that they don't see it that way, but I had all my ideas. I thought, isn't it just human opinion and all this? Then I came to that verse, "the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And I thought, you know, maybe I've been missing it all. Maybe I hadn't seen the spirit of prophecy. And so my wife and I studied together, and we began to seek the Lord and ask that God would open up a great portion of His Word, prophecy, the whole prophetic message. Not what you think, not prediction and fulfillment, not that at all, as you'll see, but prophecy. What is it, and how is it the Spirit, the testimony of Jesus, life? And what I'd like to share is a little bit of the results of that study. Now, just to get this before you, by the way, not only tonight, but throughout this series, and you'll see the text is the whole Bible. Now, I've written down all the verses. That's going to help me. If you're fast, you can look up all the passages, or else you can get the tape, and you can follow these references. Tonight, just to get it before you, just a little taste of it, let me sort of go back how God began to open it up to my own heart. I didn't know where to begin, and I thought the best place to begin, if I'm going to study prophecy in the whole Bible, and that's a big section, I thought at least I better understand what a prophet is. And so I asked the Lord to show me what a prophet is, and of course I began like any hermeneut is supposed to begin. You go to the scholars and you go to the reference books and you look up prophet and all of this. And so I found out in the Hebrew, the word prophet means to bubble up, to churn, to excite. And in the Greek, the word means one who speaks in place of another. Didn't help me either. And so, the first thing I wrote on my paper, prophet, Lily was wondering how much light I had, and I said, so far I know he's a bubbling substitute. But one of the keys that helped me was 1 Samuel 9:9. You might want to look at that just for a moment. 1 Samuel 9:9. And while you're looking it up, I'll read it. Formerly, in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, come and let us go to the seer. For he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. So I thought, well, I got another word to look up. What's a seer? Someone who dances is called what?
Dancer.
Dancer, very good. Someone who sings is called?
Singer.
Someone who preaches is called? Someone who sees. Someone who sees is called a seer. A prophet is someone who sees. He sees something. And whatever he sees causes his heart to bubble. There's something the seer sees that begins to make his spirit burn and make his spirit alive, and he begins to bubble with that and churn and excite, and he begins to live. Hold on a moment. One other thing, and then we'll home in on the chief principle, and then maybe God will give us grace. Bob confines me, you know, these 10-minute things get me. It wasn't exactly the next question, but through a process of study, one of the next things we had to answer and deal with, is there a place in this great big Bible? Is there one place where God homes in so that I don't have to study a million things in order to come up with what is this prophet and what is prophecy and how is Jesus the spirit of prophecy? If I wanted to study the man after God's own heart, who would I study? David. If I wanted to learn about faith, who would I study? Father Abraham. If I wanted to study progressive sanctification, who would I study?
Peter.
That's why we can identify with him so well. If I wanted to study the new covenant Christian, the Apostle Paul. If I want to study one prophet, all the eggs in one basket, which one is it? Isaiah. I tried that. Obadiah. I thought Elijah. And I tried that, and it didn't work. And then I went to Acts, and it says, beginning with Samuel and all the prophets. I said, aha, Samuel. Look these verses up with me, please. Exodus 33:11. Thus the Lord that used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Chapter 34, verse 29. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near to him. Verse 34. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. A couple more verses. Numbers, chapter 12, please. Where is your Bible? She forgot her Bible today, so she borrowed one from Bob Sharon, and she doesn't have it again. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. Let's start with 6. He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I the Lord shall make known myself to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" Deuteronomy 34. Verse 10. "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." The prophet, all the eggs in one basket. To be a prophet, you had to see something. No one ever saw face to face like Moses saw. No one ever talked mouth to mouth like Moses talked. No one ever had that fellowship with God that Moses had. Our Lord Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. And if I want to study his priesthood, I'd better study Melchizedek. If I want to study his kingship, I better study David, and maybe David and Solomon. But if I want to understand the Lord Jesus as a prophet, I've got to study Moses. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 18:15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, and you shall listen to him." And Deuteronomy 18:15 became the messianic hope. And from that point, everybody began to wait for the prophet like Moses. Not like Elijah, not like Samuel, not like Daniel. But Moses, there was something about Moses when he went before God. There was something different when he saw what he saw. And everybody began to wait then for the prophet. And when John the Baptist came along in John chapter 1, verse 21, they said, "Are you the prophet?" that comes into the world, the one like Moses. And in John 6, after he fed the 5,000, of a truth, this is the prophet. They were referring back to Deuteronomy, to Moses. And in John chapter 7, verse 52, the Pharisees, the scribes, they said, search the scriptures, no prophet rises out of Galilee. Well, they weren't stupid. They did their homework like I did. They knew that no one came out of Galilee, and Elijah came out of Galilee, and Jonah came out of Galilee, and Hosea came out of Galilee, and Amos came out of Galilee. They knew no prophet came out of Galilee. No prophet like this. Like Moses. Palm Sunday, Matthew chapter 21. I said, this is the prophet. Jesus of Nazareth. And when Peter was giving his sermon in Acts chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, you know what he did? He quoted Deuteronomy 18. And he said, there's going to come a prophet like Moses. And then he said, this Jesus of Nazareth, that's him. And when Stephen was dying in Acts chapter 7, he quotes Deuteronomy 18. And he says, this Jesus, that's the prophet that was promised. And so Moses comes before God face to face and friend to friend and mouth to mouth, and he sees something. And so we had to nail down, what did he see? And at first we said, the prophet comes to see the will of God. And so he tells him to go and stare, or fight, or not to fight. And as we began to study, he saw more than the will of God. He saw the heart of God. And that's what made his heart begin to burn. And that's what made the fire rage in his soul. And he began to bubble like a fountain. But if you read it carefully, it was Moses who said, show me. Can you finish it? I pray thee thy glory. It was the prophet that came to see God himself. It was the prophet that stood face to face and mouth to mouth and had this relationship, and he wasn't satisfied. That's why he became the prophet with a capital P. He wasn't satisfied until he saw the Lord. He wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted to see the Lord himself. All the Old Testament prophecies, 100% all of them, are fulfilled, as you know, in our Lord Jesus. I'll just quote several verses. Matthew 5:17. Do not think I've come to destroy or abolish the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Acts chapter 10:43 says, of him all the prophets bear witness. All of them. John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You will not come to me that you might have life. Over and over and over again, John 1:45, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And so the prophets, illustrated by Moses, they come, they're seers, they come and they saw something. And what did they see? And I'm suggesting to you, and may God grace us this weekend, I'm suggesting the spirit of what they saw is the testimony of Jesus. They saw him. They saw the Lord himself. Well, I ask you to turn to one other verse, and I promise we'll wrap it up. Amos 3:7, because this is the key. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Everybody know where Amos is? Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. The pro- prophets came before God and they saw Christ. They saw Him. And God said, I will do nothing. I read the Bible. Does He do anything here? Does He do anything in Chronicles? Anything in Lamentations? Anything in Jeremiah? Is there any history? What we're going to look at this weekend, and God grace us to see it. I'm suggesting that the prophets came before God and face to face, mouth to mouth, they saw the glory of God. They saw Christ. And God gave them that revelation, that seed. And what did they do with it? And I'm suggesting they planted it in the history of Israel. That's the history of redemption. In all those Chronicles and Kings, I read that, I'm bored to tears. I tell you, not anymore. Not since I've seen the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is Christ, and now that I'm reading these books, I'm seeing Christ is alive. The prophets took the revelation of Christ and they planted it. Just like a fossil in a rock, they planted it in this history. And we began, I tell you, it was exciting. We began to read the history and follow the prophets. The spotlight of the hills, as the prophets move, God said, I'm not going to do anything until I tell my prophet. Every time you see a prophet, God's doing something. And every time you see a prophet and he says this is the revelation of Christ. Our assignment this weekend, as God graces us, is to look at the history and extract the revelation of Christ that the prophets have put in there. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and that's why we got this big thing. I'm going to show you the history. Not boring history like I once thought, but history that's been made alive because of the spirit of prophecy. That's what we want to see. And so, in our four sessions together, we're going to cover 500 years. May God grace us and give us a good night's sleep. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just thank you so much for Moses as the great example of the prophet. And our Lord Jesus, who uniquely has revealed you face to face and mouth to mouth and friend to friend. And we pray, Lord, as we come to these revelations of Christ implanted in this soil of history by these prophets, that like them our hearts may bubble within us by the revelation of Christ. Make this a very, very practical weekend, we pray. May we see Him and be changed into His glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.